Shalom to all. Today's office holding up Kufchav Hey, and we're starting Kufchav down with Beza all the way at the bottom with a brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mirm Sarbats Miyaka Moshe Hernish Shamash and Havan Aliyah. So Mishnah says Kulis Hameis, a Kulis, which is a marrow bone from a mace, from a corpse, from a dead person, going right at the top of the next Amud, the Kulis HaMugdashin, and this Kulis is marrow bone from Mugdashin, from a carbon, Hanigebah, and one touches them, Bain Stumin Bain Akuvin. Whether they're closed, which means the bone is whole, WHOLE, there are no holes in it, or Bain Akuvin, it could be there has a hole in it. That's HOLE. It has a puncture in it. So tell me the person is going to be Tame. We know that by mace, a corpse, etzem kisa'ira, a bone, even the size of barley, is metame the person. And we know that by mugdashan, by a carbon, even though a bone really is not metame, it's just that we know that when meat of a carbon is left over beyond the time it's allowed to be eaten, it's called nicer. And the chamur geyser that this meat is metame one's hands, and that applies to the bones as well if they were meshamesh nicer, which means that if there's marrow inside, since that marrow is edible, it's also considered nicer. So touching the bone, which again was meshamesh the nicer, is going to be time of the person. Now moving on to the next stage, Mishnah tells us, kulis nevela v'kulis hasheretz, a marrow bone from nevela, just from a dead animal, or from a sheretz, hanigebahem stumin tahirin. If a person touches them when they're closed, they're sealed, they're whole, there's no puncture in them, so then the person's tahar. Whereas nekuvim, if there is a puncture, if there's a hole in this bone, so kol shu, even if it's the tiniest little hole, metame b'maga, it's metame the person by touching it. That's because it's like a shimer. As we know, the din of the shimer is if you touch the shimer, the protector of something, then you become tamei. And here again, we have the kulis, we have the marrow that's inside the bone, and we're going to see that since there's a hole in this bone, so the marrow is accessible, that now gives the bone the din of a shomer, which is why it becomes tamei. Now, minayin af b'masa, how do we know that even if he carries the bone, he's tamei? Tamalam, so the pasuk says, hanogeya v'hanosei, one who touches or one who carries. And so we learn from here, as we've had Josh earlier as well, esr bal chal maga bal chal masa, something that's in the category of maga, that you could touch it, so it's also in the category of masa. Le bal chal maga, le bal chal masa, but it's not in the category of touching it, it's not in the category of carrying it. And this, as we said, since it has a hole in it, it is in the category of maga, you could technically touch it. It's also in the category of masa. So now the Gemara begins by explaining the first part of the Mishnah. Negeya in avomayel loy. From the fact that the first part of the Mishnah, by kulis hames, this bone from a corpse, it told us that if a person touches it, he becomes tamei. But it did not say anything about tomas oyel. That's mashma, this bone is not metame ba'oyel. Let's just pause for a second to have a basic introduction about tomas oyel. When a mace or even a kezais of a mace is under a roof and oyel, then everything under the same roof becomes tamei. Now this then applies even if they're not under the same roof, but the mace itself is mahil over something, or something is mahil over the mace. Now, as we're going to see later on as well, the measurement of a tefach is very relevant over here. How? So if the mace is covered, let's say it's in a box, the toma remains inside and doesn't escape. Now, that's only if there's a tefach of space in between the mace and the lid. If there isn't, then the toma is boika'as ve'oila. It breaks through, it penetrates, and goes up. And it's the same thing with an opening. If the mace is in a room, let's say, the toma is contained within that entire room. But if there's an opening of a tefach, such as a window, the toma escapes through that opening. Bearing all that in mind, the Gemara just said, it's that since our Mishnah hadn't told us that a kulis hames is metam ba'oil, that's mashma that it's not. So the question is, hey, chidam, what are we referring to that this kulis hames is not metam ba'oil? Eid ik kezais basar, if there's a kezais of flesh, of actual meat from the mace on it, so ba'al nami litma, it should metam ba'oil as well, because we have a kezais from the mace in the oil. So we answer, no, delak kezais basar. That's just a plain bone with no kezais of meat on it. Asking our five, but eid ik kezais ma'achal mefneim, if there's a kezais of mayach, of marrow inside the bone, so toma ba'kas ba'oila, the toma should break through, it should penetrate and go up, and ba'il nami litma, it should metame ba'il as well. Now, why does a toma go through? Well, that's because it's din that we had just said, that if the toma is located in a container of sorts, that doesn't have a tefach in between the toma and the top of the container, so it's ba'kas ba'ila. And here, we have toma, which is the marrow that's in a container, which is the bone, and there definitely isn't a tefach in between the marrow and the bone. So once again, the toma, which is the marrow, should be ba'kas, should penetrate through the bone, and that should be metame ba'il. So we answer no, the like kezais ma'ach b'fnim. Then there isn't a kezais of marrow inside the bone. As we're fine, what about the following? V'im ma'ach b'fnim mala aruka mi'bachot, if the marrow inside is going to help it regenerate from the outside, then aver ma'aliyu, it's a regular aver, and ba'il nami litma, it should still be metame ba'il. Now let's just pause to explain what we just read. The suggestion over here is as follows. If when a bone is attached to the body, it would regenerate and regrow marrow, which would in turn help regenerate flesh on the outside of the bone, then even if it's completely devoid of both marrow and flesh, and nonetheless has the din of an aver, and it should be metame ba'oil. So that's what the suggestion is over here. Even though you're telling me that there's no marrow inside the bone, it should still be metame ba'oil. So on Rav Yehuda, Rav Chi answers, Zayser Maris, this clearly tells us that ma'ach b'fnim ain't a mala arukam b'chutz, that even if a bone does have marrow inside, that's not going to help regenerate flesh on the outside of the bone. Therefore, this aver that we're referring to over here is not considered like a classic aver, which would be metame ba'oil, place. That's why the Mishnah didn't say that it is. That's only Matam of Maga. The Gemara continues asking, B'mayu kimta delaki kezayas. That which you just explained, the Mishnah is referring to a bone that doesn't have a kezayas of marrow inside. Well, if that's so, then what about the next case? B'mugdashin amay matame. Why in the case of mugdashin, when we have a bone from a carbon, why is that matame? If there isn't a kezayas of marrow inside, so how's the person tame? V'su, and furthermore, what about the next stage of the Mishnah? Kulis nevela v'kulis hasharetz, the marrow bone of a nevela or sharetz, kinikvu amay matamu. Even if they do have a hole in them, why would they be matamehim? There isn't a kezayas of marrow inside, so it shouldn't be matamehim. How are we understanding the rest of the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, holikasha, that's not a problem. Reisha de lak kezayas, seifa de kezayas, meaning just the first case of kulis hames, a bone from a corpse, that's referring to where it does not have a kezayas of marrow, as we just explained, whereas the seifa, all the other three situations, kulis mugdashim, nevela, and sharetz, that's referring to where there is a kezayas of marrow. And my kamash mlon, so what's the Mishnah teaching us? Usually we like being consistent throughout an entire Mishnah that's referring to the same set of circumstances. So what do we learn from this? Now that we say that the Mishnah is talking about different things, mili mili kamash mlon, each case is teaching us something unique. Reisha kamash mlon, the first case is teaching us, even if we have marrow inside a bone, that's not going to help regenerate flesh on the outside. And mugdashin my kamash mlon, what are we learning from the case of mugdashin? Shimush noiser milsahi, that when the bone is mishamish noiser, when it was used as a service for noiser, if you will, that's considered something, meaning that's chashuv, and therefore the bone itself is going to be tame. Where do we see this? Amar barvu, amar v'yitzchak, that's my kachim, sheshimshu noiser, metamnes hayadayin, bones of kachim that were service for noiser, there was noiser meat on them, they're metame a person's hands, hoil v'nasa basis l'davar aser, that's because they were a base for something that's aser, and it's the same thing with the kulis of our Mishnah, that since it has a kezayis of marrow inside, and the marrow is edible, so the marrow becomes noiser, therefore the bone was shimush for noiser, and that's why it's metame him when he touches it. Vela, what do we learn from this last stage of the Mishnah? Afagav de eke kezayis, that even though there is a kezayis of marrow inside the bone, nikva in, loy nikva loy, only if he made a hole in the bone, so then he becomes tame by touching it, but if there's no hole in the bone, he's not tame. So we have three different chidushim out of these three different stages of the Mishnah. And this is all shitas of Yehuda Breit Rav Chiya. Now we have a slightly different understanding. Abaye Amar Abaye says, lo'olam mechem b'fnei malarukum b'chutz. We don't have to go so far. We could say that if there's marrow inside the bone, that would help regenerate flesh on the outside. Again, that's if it was attached to the person. It's just the v'hachamay skin. And what are we talking about over here specifically? B'sheshafa. It's where the bone was cut or broken or scraped. In that situation, even though there's marrow inside, that would not cause any regeneration of flesh on the outside. Why is that? Rabbi Blazer, said, and Rabbi Blazer, he tells us, kul sheshafa la'arka t'meya, if a marrow bone was scraped or cut along its length, so that still is metama, because that would help regenerate flesh, but l'rachba, along its width, tahira, it's tahar, which means if there's a band cut around the circumference of the bone, so it's not able to regenerate flesh on the outside. With Simanich, how do you remember this? Dikla is just like a palm tree. It is very similar that if a person goes to a palm tree and cuts a strip of bark vertically on the tree, nothing's going to happen to it. However, if he cuts a band of bark around the circumference of the tree, that would be widthwise or horizontally, whichever way you want to say it, so that's going to cause the tree to die, because Rashi explains any sap which is coming from the ground, which gives nourishment to the tree, is not going to be able to pass that band which he had sliced out of the bark, and that's going to cause it to die, and that's the same thing with the bone. So these two opinions are really basically saying the same thing, Abaye and Rabbi Yehuda Breit Rav Chiya. However, now we have a different understanding of Mishnah. Rabbi Yechon says, lo'olam de'ik gezayas. Really, even in the first case of Mishnah, kulis menames, this bone from the corpse, it's talking about where it has a kezayas of marrow, and umaychum bifnim mala rugam mochotz. Marrow inside the bone would cause it to regenerate and regrow flesh on the outside. So the big question is, fine, so why is it not metam ba'oil? Why doesn't the Mishnah say that? And the answer is, umayno gadiktani mahil. When the Mishnah says that if he touches it, he's tameh, what does that mean, touching? Actually, it means mahil. That if we have tumas oil over here, it is metameh. And we're going to soon see how it could be that noigea and mahil are the same thing. Now we just continue to explain the Mishnah by asking, it's really to the corner of Yechanon, marrow inside the bone is going to help regenerate flesh on the outside of the bone. So in kulis nevela, kulis hasharetz, ki loy nikvu amay tahirim. In the last case of the Mishnah, when we have this kulis from nevela or sharetz, even if they don't have a hole in them, they weren't punctured, why are they tahar? Amar Rabban Yom Bar Gidol, Amar Rabbi Yechanon, he explains that hachmai skin, what are we talking about over here? Kegoyin de'ike gezayis mayach hameskashkesh, as where there's a kezayis of mayach inside this bone, but it's meskashkesh, which literally means it's rattling around. In other words, the kezayis of mayach, this marrow, is dried up, it's detached from the bone, so it's just shaking around kind of like a toy, a rattle, and so that's why there's going to be a difference between a bone from nevela and a bone from a corpse from a mace. Gabi mace, we're talking about a human corpse, toma by kazva ayla, the toma which is imparted by this dry mayach is by kea. It does penetrate and it goes out of the bone, and therefore it will be tamei tomas oil. Whereas nevela, kimetim eskashkesh, who, in regards to nevela, since it's shaking around, the marrow is totally dry, and therefore it would not be mala aruka, it would not regenerate if it were to have been connected to the animal, so then it's all totally on touching it. Nikva in, loy nikva loy, only if this bone nevela has a hole in it, so then he's going to become Tameh, because it's like he's touching it. If not, then not. And that's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. Now, we further clarify the Shita Rabbi Yechon, Amar Rabbi Avin, Vitema Somseos, Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Avin and Amitinino. We also learned this, namely that Tomas Maga, Toma of touching, and Tomas Oyel by Maze are really the same thing. Where do we see this? So Mishnah Maseches Oyelis tells us as follows, Hanayeba Kechatzi Zayas, if a person touches a half a Zayas of a Maze, Umayel Chatzi Zayas, and he's mile on half a Zayas, which, for example, let's say his left hand is touching half a Zayas, and his right hand is hovering over another half a Zayas of a Maze, so he's being mahil over it, Oy Chatzi Zayas mahil alav, or there's another half a Zayas of Maze being mahil over him. For example, it was placed on a stick and is jutting out of a wall, and he's standing underneath it. So with one hand, he's touching half a Zayas of a Maze, and he's standing underneath another half a Zayas of a Maze. Tameh, he's Tameh. No, yeah, Rishlama, Chad Shmahu. If you want to say that touching an oil is one name, it's the same thing, so Mishmachim and Starf. That's why these two things are Mitzarf to Mitameh him. Ali Amr Trey Shami Nenhu. If you want to say these are two different names, two different categories, touching an oil, will Mima Starf, would they be able to be combined? No, because of a Tanan, we have a Mishnah that says, Zahaklal, this is the rule, Kol Shem Yishem Echon Mitzarf, Vitameh, anything that's the same shame, it's the same category, so then it could join together in Mitameh, whereas Mishnei Shemais, Tahar, if it's two separate names, two separate categories, then a person would be Tahar because there is no Tziruf. Elamai Chad Shmahu, it must be that Tomas Maga by Mace and Oyhel is really the same shame, it's the same category, and we're able to Mitzarf them. However, the Gemara says, this is not a good Raya, because Ema Seifa, take a look at the very end of that Mishnah. Aval Kof Chav Hayam Beza on the top. Hanoi Geab Chatzi Zayas, Vidavar Acher Mahil Olav Val Chatzi Zayas, Tahar. If a person is touching half a Zayas, and there's something else being Mahil over him, and another half a Zayas, he is Tahar, which means a very similar example, just a little bit different, and this is the key, that he's touching half a Zayas, and let's say he's standing next to the other half a Zayas, and there's an umbrella or a sukkah board or something like that, which is being mahil over him and this other half a Zayas that he's standing next to. It's forming a roof over him and this other half a Zayas, so he's Tahar. Now here's the problem, Vichad Shmahu, if you want to say that touching an oil has the same name, the same category, Amai Tahar, why is he Tahar? The Gemara says, you're right, it's not the same name, so El Kash Resha, so what about the Resha this Mishnah, which seems to be that it is the same thing, because we're combining these two Tumas, he's touching half a Zayas and being mahil over the other half a Zayas, so why is he Tummy in that case, if you want to tell me it's not the same shame? And so to that, Omer Zerubzer answers, B'tum Ritzutza bin Bez Migdal Maskinon, the race is talking about a unique case where it's Tum Ritzutza, which literally means squished Tuma, in between two closets. V'ein b'nei pasech tefach, and there isn't a tefach between them, d'kulin giyohi, the whole thing is actually considered touching, and it's not oil. Let's just pause for a second to explain, before we continue trying to figure out who holds that Nigiyah and oil are the same thing. So we just mentioned over here is as follows, and this is another din of Tumas Mace. Ritzutza, as we just translated, means squished, and the din is that if a piece of the mace is in such a small area that it's rutzutz, it's like it's squished there. So it's a totally different din. This is when it's contained in an area that's less than one cubic tefach. So in such a scenario, the halacha Moshe Sinai dictates that the tuma doesn't spread outwards, rather it goes straight upwards. And as the Gemara says over here, the example given is the tuma is in between two migdalim. Migdalim are closets, and because they're so large, they're unable to be makabel tuma. That's a different din regarding tuma that we're not going to get involved in. Therefore, since the space in between them is less than a tefach, and the tuma has nowhere to go other than upwards, so Mamela, when he puts his hand in that space above the tuma, it's as if he's actually touching the tuma. That's why the Gemara just said, Dekula Negiyahi, the whole thing is considered like he's touching it. In other words, the ratio of the Mishnah we quoted before is referring to a case where he's physically touching half of Ikazayas, and the other half of Ikazayas is in such a tight, confined area where even though he's not physically touching it, his hand is just hovering above it, since this is called Tuma Ritzutza, and the tuma is going all the way upwards, it's as if he's touching it, so therefore the whole thing is really just a din in Negiyah, and it's not half oil, half Negiyah. So that's why this is not a Raya for Rabbi Yechanan. Therefore, the Gemara continues, Umantana Dekar the oil Negiyah. So who's the man to Amar who does call Tomas Oyel by the name of Negiyah, meaning it's really the same thing? Rabbi Yossi, it's Jesus Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi says, Mali Tarvid Rekev, Metama B'magu B'masa Uba Oyel. If we have Mali Tarvid Rekev, which means a large spoonful of corpse dust, and that's basically when a corpse decays and it turns into dust. So a person has a large scoopful of this corpse dust, that's Mali Tarvid Rekev, a large spoonful of this corpse dust, so it's in all three ways, maga, masa, and oil. So we analyze this to further understand she's Rabbi Yossi. Bishlama maso ba oil. We understand that we're talking about Thomas masa and oil. Hakatan le kule, hakamala kule. He's either carrying the entire thing or he's being mile over the entire thing. If he's carrying this whole spoon, so he's carrying the whole thing, so he becomes tummy that way. Let's say the spoon is on a table and he bends his body over it, so he's being mile over the entire thing. Elena gea, hotloy nugaba kule. But in regards to touching, he's not touching the whole thing. If he touches one part of this corpse dust, this rekev, he's not touching the whole thing because it's basically a bunch of little particles that are all in the same spoon, but he's really only touching a few of the particles, not all of them. So why would he become Tomei Tomas Magab? It shouldn't be considered like he's touching a mace. Elav Shmamina, It must be. How do we understand this? Minoy Geah. What does it mean that he's touching it? Mahil. That touching it and being mal over it is really the same thing. Seriously, there's Rabbi Yossi who holds that these two are really the same. As Gemara, still, we have a problem. Akhtani Minoy Geah, Akhtani Mahil. This Brisa seems to differentiate because it says Negiya and it says Oyel, and it doesn't group them in the same category. It's mashma two separate categories. So Rabbi Abaye answers, and this is not going to fit with Shitas Rabbi Yochanan having Rabbi Yossi support him. He's just explaining the Brisa. The Lamata Mitafach Oyel Negiya, Lamala Mitafach Oyel Greda. If a person's hand, for example, is less than a tefach above the tumah, so then it's called oihel negiya, oihel of touching, because it's considered like he's touching it, but really he's being mild over it due to the fact he's not actually touching it, but it's like he's touching it, that's why it's called oihel negiya. Or if it's more than a tefach above, then that's just called regular oihel, and so that's what the Brice is referring to when it mentions these two words separately, negiya and oihel. However, Rav Amar Rava answers, and this is going to fit with Shitas Rabbi Yochanan having Rabbi Yossi support him, that afil lamal mi tefach, even if his hand is more than a tefach above the tumah, nami oihel negiyahu, this is also called oihel negiya, and vehechnami oihel greda. So what would regular oihel be considered? Behamshacha, that's hamshacha, which is basically classic tumas oihel, when you have two things underneath the same roof, a person and the tumah, for example, that's what's called hamshacha, that's regular tumas oihel. But when the person himself is being mahil over the tumah, so then that's called oihel negiya, even though he's more than a tavach above it. And Amar Rabbi continues explaining himself, but how do we know this? Did not, it's really the time you have a brice, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, chavil mita yusri chaloinois, chaitzin bena bayas la'aliyah, shaloi lahachnas tumah at sad sheni. We have ropes of a bed and bars of a window. They're chaitzets in between the house and the aliyah, the upper floor, and they don't allow tumah to go to the other side. Now let's just pause to explain. This is what we just said about the ropes of a bed and the bars of a window. It refers to the mesh of ropes that were used for a bed. Basically, they were woven into the bed or attached to the outside of the bed to put the mattress on, or we have a mesh of metal or wood bars for a window. So the Brisa tells us that these were placed in the opening between the bias and the aliyah, the lower and the upper floor of a house. They are chaitzets. They create a block preventing tumah from going through. And this is even though there are holes in the mesh, because the holes are less than a tefach, and as we've already said previously, when we have less than a tefach, tumah can't go through. So that's the first situation. Now let's say personal panei mace ba'avir, if you spread this mesh over a mace and it's in the air above it, so in a gay keneged a nekev tameh, shaloi keneged a nekev tar, if a person touches corresponding to where one of the holes in the mesh are, so then he's tameh, or if he touches not corresponding to where one of the holes are, he's tahar. Now analyzing this, we ask, hey chidami, what's this case over here that we just mentioned? Ilim lamata mitefach, if you want to say that this mesh was placed within a tefach of the mace, so shaloi keneged a nekev amai tahar, even if he puts his finger in a place which is not corresponding to one of the holes in the mesh works. Amai tahar, why would he be tahar? Mace biksusaihu, this is considered like the mace with his garment, umace biksusai metame, and a mace in his garment is metame. In other words, if a mace is wearing a garment, for example, if a mace is wrapped in a blanket, that's considered ksus, its garment. So that's not a chatzitza, that's not an interposition in between the tumas mace and that which is above it. So if a person puts his hand above the mace, of course he's going to be tame. And therefore, in the second din of the brisa, when we have this mesh work above the mace, if a person puts his hand on a place of the mesh work where there is rope, so it's not near one of the open areas of the mesh, if again this mesh is within a tefach of the mace, it's really just considered its garment, so why would the person be tahar? It must be that this mesh was placed more than a tefach above the mace, and that's when he puts his finger on a place where it's not open, let's say where the rope is, so he's not tamei. But here's the key: when he places his hand in a spot which is corresponding to the one of the open holes of the mesh, so then he is tamei, because the tumah of the mace goes through that hole, and the kakari le noigea, the Brisa calls it that he's touching the mace. Now he's not actually touching the mace, his finger's just in the air. So once again, we see a right for Rabbi Yossi, even though he's just being mile over the mace, it's being called noigea, and that it's even when it's more than a tefach above the mace. However, Amar Abaye comes to argue and says that no, la'olam lamat mitefach, we could say that this mesh that we're talking about is within a tefach of the mace, and that which you had said, the mace biksusayhu, is no different than a mace in its garment. Just like when a mace is wrapped in its garment, the tumah goes through its garment, it should be the same thing over here with the mesh. The answer is that no, mace biksusay mevatole, that when a mace is in its garment, so a person's mevatol the garment to the mace, and that's why the tumah goes through. But hi, lo mevatole, this meshwork that he had put over the mace for whatever reason, he's not mevatol it to the mace. Maybe he wants to protect it from the sun, or if things are falling, he put this rope thing over it to catch these things that are falling so it don't squish the mace. For whatever reason, he put this mesh over it, he's not mevatol it to the mace, and therefore does create a chatzitza. That's as long as he puts his hand in a place where there's actual rope and not where there's airspace. Asking another question though, it should be just like tumah tamuna, which literally means buried tumah, and that also penetrates and goes upwards. And really, tumah tamuna is the same thing as the tumah ritzutza that we mentioned previously. That if we have tumah in such a confined area that it doesn't have one cubic tefach of space around it, then that tumah goes all the way through, and so it should be no different in this case. He has the meshwork within a tefach of it, and since there isn't a tefach of space around it, so the tumah should still go through. We're back to square one. And the answer is that no, because of Rabbi Yossi, tumah tamuna ain't a bekas. Rabbi Yossi holds that tumah tamuna does not penetrate and go through. We've been saying the whole time that it does. Rabbi Yossi holds holds and doesn't. No, but not Tamra. How do we know this? Then now we have a Mishnah, Tevis Hamigdal, the compartment of a closet. Imagine you have a freestanding closet. It's quite large and it has a whole bunch of different compartments in it. And so we're just going to be focusing on one of the compartments in this closet. It has a tefach of space in it, which means the hollow of this compartment is a full tefach. Its exit, which means the way to put something in or take something out of this little compartment, that opening isn't a tefach. Just imagine you have this closet with a whole bunch of different compartments for random things. And one of them, the compartment itself is a tefach, but all there is just a little hole for you to slip little things inside. Maybe it's meant for storing your coins. It's like a little piggy bank. You put your coins inside, so the opening is definitely not pesach tefach, but the entire compartment itself is pesach tefach. The story here, toma besaicha. There's toma, there's a piece of a mace inside the little piggy bank storage compartment. So by his tome, the entire house is tome. However, toma b'bayis, if there's toma inside the house, masha besaicha, tahar. Whatever's inside that little compartment is tahar. Now why is that? What's the difference? That's because of the norm for toma to leave, but not for it to go inside. Therefore, when there's toma inside this little compartment, you're eventually going to take that toma out. And therefore, even though the opening of this compartment isn't a tefach, you're going to eventually open it up and remove that toma. That means that for all intents and purposes, the toma is considered like it's been removed already, and that means that it's in the house, so the whole house is tome. But if the toma is inside the house, you're not necessarily going to take the toma and squish it into this compartment, so therefore whatever's in the compartment is considered sealed off from the house, and it remains tahar. Now this is all a Tanakama, whereas Rabbi Yossi is metaher, even when there's toma inside the compartment. Why is that? He could either remove it in half pieces, he could slip a knife through the crack that's meant for coins, slice the toma in half, and then take the toma out in halves, and then it's not going to be metame the house, or you just put a match inside and burn it while it's there, so it's not necessarily going to be coming out. Now we continue, pay attention to this, because it's really the main key over here. Uketani Seifa, the Seifa of this mission teaches as follows. Hamida B'Pesach, let's say he takes his cabinet and he places it by the entrance of the house. U'Pischa L'Chot, and the opening of this compartment is facing outside the house. So Toma B'Seich Abay is Tahar. And there's Toma inside this compartment, so the house is Tahar, because even though the Toma is going to end up coming out, it's going to end up going out through the outside of the house, it's not going to pass through the house. And also Toma B'Bayis, if there's Toma inside the house, Masha B'Seich Tahar, whatever's inside this compartment is Tahar. Now Kof Chofa went off on top. V'Tani Allah, Baraisa was taught on this, Rabbi Yossi Metaher, Rabbi Yossi's Metaher. And the question is, Ahaya, on which case are we saying Rabbi Yossi's Metaher? Ilema Seifa, if you want to say that Rabbi Yossi is going on the Seifa of this Mishnah, where this closet, this cabinet was placed at the entrance of the house, and Rabbi Yossi is saying about that case, oh, it's Tahar. Well, Tanakam Nami Tahar Kamatahar. The Tanakam was also Metaher that case. El rather, must be it's going on the Resha, the Kamar Tanakam. The Tanakam had said, Toma B'Seicha by his Tome, that when there's Toma inside this compartment in the closet, the house is Tome. And it's on that case Rabbi Yossi is saying, then no, it's Tahar. And why is the Tanakama saying that situation is Tame? Either it's because, as we had said before, it's the standard that Toma is going to end up coming out of that compartment. It's going to end up being in the house, and that's going to be Tame in the house. Alternatively, the reason why the Tanakama is Metame in that situation is Mishum the Toma Tamuna by Kas, because Toma Tamuna breaks through, and Mekamal Rabbi Yossi is responding to him, meaning in this Braisa where we say that Rabbi Yossi is Metaher, he's so to speak responding to the Tanakama by saying, that which you had said, Derech Toma Latzeis, that it's the norm for the Toma to be brought out of there. So I'll tell you that no, Yachol Latzei Al-Chatzayin, Oilasar from Kaima. He could technically bring it out in half pieces and it wouldn't be Metame, or he could just burn it where it is. And also, it's not going to end up coming out and being Metame. And that's what we had read in the Mishnah itself. And Uduka Amrit, that which you had said, Toma Tamuna Bakas, that Toma Tamuna is by Kaya. Well, I, Rabbi Yossi, say that Toma Tamuna ain't a by Kas. Toma Tamuna is not by Kaya. So here's where we see that Rabbi Yossi holds, Toma Tamuna is not by Kaya. So let's clarify where we see Toma Tamuna over here, and that's based off of Mashmois. Since this Mishnah that we were quoting, that we're discussing, is talking about a compartment that has a tefach of space with inside it. It's a cubic tefach, and the Tanakama only mentions derech tomo lotzeis ve'in derech tomo likhanes, and it doesn't say anything about tomo baikas. That's mashma, as we had just explained at the end of this discussion, that if this compartment were not to have been a cubic tefach, it would have been smaller than that, so then it would be tomo baikas. And so once again, we can see from here that Rabbi Yossi holds that tomo is not baikas, and this is the end of Abaye's very long raya, how this case that we were originally bringing from his mesh that was placed over the mace is not necessarily raya for Rabbi Yossi, because it could be that we're referring to where it's within a tefach of the mace, and still it's not metami the person corresponding to where the actual mesh is, because again, Rabbi Yossi holds that Toma is not bakas. We're going to stop it for the day, but pick up tomorrow to continue discuss Shitas Rabbi Yossi with a seeming stira. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.